Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Ksubais Daf Mem Aleph. We are holding eight lines from the top of the Amud Tan Rabbanon. We learned in a Braisa. We're back to the Moitzi Shemra, this husband who purports that his wife entered the marriage a non-basula, which suggests that she was involved in inappropriate behavior during the engagement period, during the Erusin, which at the time of Chazal was like a semi-married state. It was after Kiddushin. So he claims that she was involved in this type of behavior and he wants nothing to do with her. It turns out nothing was just a made-up story and he faces the consequences. What are his consequences? Tanu Rabbanan v'anshu oisei, it says, v'anshu oisei mea kesef. Ze mamayin. Says the Gemara, that's the monetary aspect of his consequence. You have to pay a fine. The Pasuk says, v'yisru oisei. What does that mean? Ze malkus. We give him malkus. So it's a two-pronged punishment, monetarily and bodily. Asks the Gemara, v'yishleima v'anshu ze mamayin. I understand that v'anshu refers to a monetary penalty. As the Pasuk says, Dechsev, V'anshu oisei mea kesef. Pretty straightforward. Right? V'nasnu al v'anara, which he gives to the father of the Nara. Ela but, V'yisru, you say it means Malkus, Ze Malkus, Minolan, how do you know? V'yisru means through Malkus, we punish him through Malkus. Amar Rabavo, we use a three-stage Gzeru Shava to prove V'yisru means application of Malkus. Lamadnu Yisru. We learn the definition of the word Yisru mentioned by us, by the Maitzi Shemra. From where do we learn that? Mi Yisru. From a different Yisru mentioned elsewhere. By the son who strays, by Ben Seirer Umayre, where there too it says V'yisru. Now, V'yisru mi Ben. By the Ben Seirer Umayre, the word Yisru is said near the word Ben. Ben Seirer Moira, and it says V'yisru. So now we know that V'yisru is somewhat synonymous with the word Ben, right? And likewise, the Yisru by us, by the Moitz, is similar to the yesterday's drasha with the Sha'arecha on the Pesach. Rashi actually said yesterday that it's just an asmachta, it's sort of a hint that the Chachamim based their halacha on. They knew the halacha through, you know, Kabbalah of Torah Shebaal Peh, and they used these methods to sort of prove and to hint, to find a reference to this idea in the Torah itself. So in any case, we go Yisru by us to Yisru by the Ben Seirer Umayr. Then, just as by the Ben Seirer Umayr, Yisru is synonymous with the word Ben, which is stated nearby. Likewise, Yisru by us is synonymous with Ben. Once we know that Yisru and Ben are sort of related, now we take it a step further. Uben mi Ben. We take the sort of Ben that we have by us, because Yisru and Ben are synonymous, and we go connect to a different word, to Ben, which is stated elsewhere in a context of Malkus. Uben mi Ben, the Ben by us from Ben elsewhere, where v'haya im bin hakoy sarasha, which describes the application of Malkus. Right? This fellow's a rasha, and the judge will apply Malkus to him. Bottom line is, we go from here to Ben Yisrael Ramayra, back to us, over to v'haya bin hakoy sarasha, and we know that v'yisru means the application of Malkus. Asks the Gemara, you're punishing this man so severely. Where is his warning? We know that we never punish without a warning. As Hara L'Maitzi Shemra Menolim. Where do we find a warning in the Torah against being Maitzi Shemra? We have two options. Rab Elazar Amar, Milo Yiseilech Rachel. Don't go spread allegations and stories about people. That's the Azhara against the Maitzi Shemra. He was over on this warning. Rabbi Nasan Aymer, I have another pasuk. Mivinishmarto mikol davar ra. Be careful from anything inappropriate. And the Mepharshim explain, davar ra, davar and divar are very closely related. Be careful. Watch from speaking davar ra, from making up stories about somebody else. And Rashi points out that the word v'nishmarta is like hishamer, and we know that hishamer denotes a mitzvah sleisase. Guard yourself against such and such. So Rabbi Nassim learns from v'nishmarta, and Rabbi Lazar from leisei leich rachel. Asks the Gemara, v'Rabbi Lazar ma'ay taima lo yomar ma'ay. Why didn't Rabbi Lazar choose to learn the azhara from Rabbi Nassim's pasuk? From v'nishmarta mikol davar ra. Answers the Gemara, ahu, that pasuk, it's already been used for something else. Mi boile l'kedra Pinchas ben Yair, who learned as follows. Pasuk says, v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, guard yourself from anything bad, even a deviant thought is meant to be banished from one's mind, from one's heart. Mikan amar Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, based on this pasuk, taught Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, al yaharer adam b'yayim, one should be careful to avoid any inappropriate thoughts during the day. They come, they attack from all sides, as the Gemara Bava Basra says, there are some things a person cannot avoid entirely. One of them is hirhur haveru, inappropriate thoughts. So what does the Gemara mean? Al yaharer adam b'yayim. Don't willingly contemplate these thoughts. They'll come from all sides, but just shoo them away. For the initial inkling, well, that a person cannot really avoid, and he's not really held accountable for. We're not responsible for the initial notion, but to dwell on it, that's the issue. Banish it. Override those thoughts. Introduce thoughts of purity into your heart and mind. As the Rambam says, thinking words of Torah, fill the heart, fill the mind, and don't allow any silliness to enter. Mikan Amar Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, al yaharer adam b'yayim. Why? Because it can bring to unwanted consequences. V'yavay l'day tumah b'layla, can bring to tumah later on. So this pasuk has been used for that, and unavailable to teach us for the Moitzi Shemra. That's why Rabbi Lezer chose the other pasuk. Rabbi Nassim, my time alay omer mahai. If so, why didn't Rabbi Nassim use Rabbi Lezer's pasuk? Lay selech rachel ba'amecho. Don't spread allegations and falsehoods about your friend. Hahu, well, that pasuk has been used for something else. Azhara lebezin. Some of the girsa, azhara ledayin. It's a warning to the bezin, to the dayin. Shalo yehi rach lezeh. Don't be soft on this litigant, v'kashal hazeh, on top of the other fellow. You have to treat them even-handedly. So it's being used for that pasuk and unavailable for the Moitzi Shemra. So bottom line is, the Moitzi Shemra is certainly under warning, under caution, whether it's this pasuk or that. And as a result, we punish him. If it turns out that he's just making up the story, Malkus and Mamayin. Now, the Moitzi Shemra is only held liable if he instigated the story, if he actually brought the Edom and he manipulated the entire event. But let's say the Edom came on their own. Layomar le'edom bayu v'heiduni. He didn't ask the Edom. He didn't summon them. V'hein me'edom oisim me'aleim. Rather, they came on their own. They chose to volunteer this information about his wife. Well, we know that she was involved in Znus. And it turns out that it's just a farce. Edim zaymimin. Others come and discredit them by saying, what are you talking about? You claim to have witnessed an event at that place, at that time, at that very time, you were with us in a different place. They become Edim zaymimin. Edim proven to be false. Is the husband responsible what these Edom try to instigate? No, I didn't ask them to come. I didn't hire them. Right? So lo yomer le'edom boyu ve'iduni. He didn't ask the Edom to come and tell the Bezna about his wife's Zinus. Rather, they chose to do it on their own. And it turns out that they're liars. The husband is totally unresponsible. No malchus applied to him, and no fine applied either. But if it turns out that the Edom are right on, then she gets skila, and the Zayimim as well, the Edom, which turned out to be false Edom. What do you mean? How can both happen at the same time? Either the event happened and she's wrong, or it was just trumped up and the Edom Zayimim are guilty and she's okay. You can't have her and the Edom Zayimim be punished at the same time, which doesn't go. How can you say she and the Zayimim are not punished at the same time? It's one or the other. Ella, rather, we insert the word oi, or one or the other. Oi he. If it turns out that the allegation is substantiated, she did znus, then she's punished. Oi zaymimeha. Or it turns out to be false, the zaymim are not punished. Magdimin lebeis askila, they're taken to the beis askila. Tama deloy amar lehu, says the Gemara. Apparently, the husband is not involved here because he didn't summon the Edom. He didn't invite the Edom. He wasn't the party. But if he asks them to come, he invites them. They come be made about his wife. Turns out to be totally false and trumped up. Husband is punished. Even though he didn't actually hire the Edom, he just asked them to come. That's enough to make him a party in the equation. La fuki mit Rabbi Yehuda. This is not like Rabbi Yehuda's shita. The sanya Rabbi Daimer einay chayiv. Husband is not responsible. Achi yisker edim. Until he actually goes a step further and he hires the edim. But if they're just coming to do him a favor, he's not so intricately involved, and therefore, the process of knas and all that doesn't apply to the husband. Even if it turns out that the whole thing was just a false allegation. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that hiring the Edom is a precondition? Amar Ravo Asya. Sima, Sima, we make a Gzerah Shava using the word Sima from a word Sima elsewhere. Ksivacha. Over here we have the Pasuk. V'samla Alilis Tvarim. He presented this libel. Uksiv Hasam. We have a Pasuk by Ribus, by taking interest. Loisa simon olav neshech. Don't apply neshech. Don't apply interest to a loan. Malahalan mam. Just as the word sisimun, which is from the Lashon Sima, placement, application, is in the context of money. Right? Don't apply interest to a loan. Afkan mam. Likewise over here. Visamla, which is similar, a similar word, is a reference to a process which was instigated by money, i.e. hiring of these false Edom. Interesting that the Tzeis HaChoshen points out, we have a right from this Gemara, that even if one hires an aide to testify for him, an honest aide, nothing false about it, but you hire an aide to work for you, Minat Torah is a kosher aide. You see, there's a Mishnah which says that if a person takes money for, you know, witness services, the Edus is worthless. So the Tzeis HaChoshen says, apparently it's only a psalm of the Rabban. He's disqualified from the Rabban because Min HaTorah is still qualified, as we see in our Gemara. Look, this husband is hiring the Edom, and we reckon with the Edus that they're saying. Apparently Min HaTorah is a proper Edus. Omar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. V'chein Rav Yosef Tzidoni, that was his name, Beira B'Shimon Bar Yochai, he presented this drasha, the Beis Medrash of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, or a drasha that was learned in the Beis Medrash. So he was relating that drasha, Asya Sima Sima, exactly as we said before. We learned this halacha. Which halacha? That you have to actually hire the Edom to be considered an involved party. We learn it from the Gzera Shava, Sima over here, from Sima of the Ribbis, just as over there. It's a monetary transaction here as well. It needs to be some monetary element involved as well. Boy Rav Yirmiya. Here comes the classic Rav Yirmiya's questions. Intricate questions. What about this? What about that? Sachar bekarka mau. Rav Yirmiya was known to ask these unusual types of circumstances. Let's say you hire them with karka instead of paying them with money. You hire them for the job using karka, using land. Mahu, what the halacha be in this case? On the one hand, you hire them. On the other hand, aren't we meant to compare this to ribbis? And by ribbis, it's only ribbis if it's actually money. Karka doesn't. Ribbis doesn't apply to the karka situation. So, how close to ribbis does it have to be? Actual money or even karka, which is, you know, shove kesef. That's enough. But pachas mishava pruta mao. Another question. Let's say you hire them with something worth less than a shava pruta, less than the minimum, you know, shear of a value, which is typically the minimum threshold to be considered mamain throughout the rest of the Torah. So on the one hand, he hires them, you know, even less than a pruta has some value. You can't steal. You cannot steal less than a shava pruta. But on the other hand, you know, shava pruta is the minimum needed typically to affect a legal transaction. So what would the halacha be in this case? Another question. Shneyem bepruta mau. The husband approaches both Edom and offers them one pruta for both, split the pruta. On the one hand, he's spending a pruta, which is mamon, but on their side, on the receiving end, each person's not getting a pruta. Does that qualify? Mahu. Okay, we leave it as a hanging question. Boy Rav Ashi, here come another two shaylos. Hoiti shemra al nusuna rishonim mahu. So this fellow married her once, divorced, married her again. Second time around, he's now complaining about the first marriage. Don't you remember you came into the first marriage in non-basula? He's being Maitzi Shemra, he's allegating, he's making up stories, and it turns out that he's a Maitzi Shemra. Do we apply the process in this case? Or not? Al-Nesui Achiv Mao. Reuven had married this Isha, passed away without children, and his brother Shimon stepped in and did Yibum. He's the Yavam. And he's complaining that you misled my brother way back when you entered his marriage, Einan Basula. Do we apply Moitzi Shemra in this case? Response to the Gemara. Peshoit mi'achad. I can clarify, I can conclude on at least one, the second of the two questions. This is the father complaining. Look, Rabbeisai, I gave over my daughter to this man. He's making up stories. He's spreading falsehoods about my daughter. Why does the pasuk say Leish Hazeh, this man, Lezeh? Because he's pointing to the man that he gave his daughter over to, B'loi Liyavam. But it doesn't refer to the Yavam, who he didn't really hand his daughter over to. That came Min HaShemayim, right? He married his daughter to Reuven, and then Reuven passed away. She automatically reverted to Shimon. So if Shimon is the one that's making the trouble, there's no Mitzvah Shemra. So we have clarity on that question. Now, yesterday we had a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hoitzos Shemra only applies if this husband actually lived with his new wife as married, and then he started making up stories. And then we apply the process of Maisi Shemra, for it turns out that he's just making it up, he's punished. Whereas according to the Rabbanon, we don't need this condition of Baal. Right after the Chuppah decides to make up stories, the process is applied even in that case. So we made mention of this Machlekes. Now we're going to go into it. My Rabbanon, or my Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where do we find these two shittas? The Sanya, we learned in the Braise. Keitzad Hoitzos Shemra. How does Hoitzos Shemra play out? Bole Bezn, husband arrives at Bezn, Va'amar. And he declares, Pliny, Mr. Father of my wife, You know, I haven't discovered Basulim by your daughter. Apparently, she was involved with another man prior to marrying me. Says the Braisa, what happens? If, in fact, Edom come forward to confirm that she committed znus during the engagement period, she gets a partial ksuba, a mana, like a woman who was a non-basul. Asks the Gemara, how can that be? There are Edom that she committed znus, she gets a ksuba. She's deserving of skila. What do you mean? No, we meant like this. Yes. If Edom confirmed the story, we apply skila. But zinsa miikara, it turns out that she was involved in znus before she got engaged to him. In that case, she was not yet an eshes ish. She's not deserving of skila. And in fact, yesh lo ksuba mana, she gets a half ksuba, 100 zuz. So although this fellow expected a besula and he was sort of misled, but we're going with the shita that even if he thought you expected a besula and he was surprised with a non-besula, she's still deserving of a ksuba, although not a full ksuba, 200 for the besula, but at least 100 like a non-besula. And the Braisa continues, Nimtza sheshemra eino yishemra. It turns out that his entire story is totally false. He's making it up. Hu leike v'noisen me'asela. He gets malchus and pays the fine. Bein baal or bein loy baal. Whether he actually interacted with her as married or even with not. That's not a precondition to set the Mitzvah Shemra process in motion. That is Shitas Rabbanon who do not require a Maisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, no. Loy nemru dvarim halalu. This entire process is only applicable if Eloka Shebaal, if his husband was Boyal the Isha, and then he decides to claim that she's a non-basul. Now we're going to go through several psukim and see how it fits with either Shita. Bishloim Elor Blazer ben Yaakov, I understand that according to this Shita, Hainu Lechsev, the Pasuk says, Uba Eileu, Uvekrav Eileu. I was near her, I spent with her physically, so now he's claiming that he discovered her to be non-basula due to his interaction with her. Elul Rabbana, but according to the Rabbana, there was no Baal. So what does the Pasuk mean? Mai Uba Eleo, Ve'ekrav Eleo. What does that mean? Answer, Uba Eleo Ba'alilis. I presented her with a libel. Ve'ekrav Eleo B'dvarim. And I challenged her with allegations. Bishlam Elul Blazer B'Yakim, according to that sheet that works, the pasuk, which says, "Hainu dechsev le'matzasi lebitcha besulim." Look, I didn't discover besulim by your daughter because he interacted with her. He attempted to find the besulim and he didn't find it. El rabbanon b'kund rabbanon, ma'ilam matzasi lebitcha besulim. What does that mean? I didn't find besulim. He hasn't even interacted with her. How would he know? Answer is, le'matzasi lebitcha kishrei besulim. I haven't found edim which will be machsher your daughter. We will consider your daughter as a basula. So kishrei is a lashon of kasher, machsher. So we have edim who claim that she did znus, and I haven't found other edim that are willing to contradict those first edim and restore her basula status. That's all it means. Bishlam little b'zim Yaakov coined to him. I know the pasuk says ve'elam basula b'ti. Husband, the father responds to husband's allegations by producing the basula of his daughter. So he brings out the cloth and you see dam. Apparently there was basulim during your interaction. What are you talking about? El Rabbanan, b'koin to Rabbanan, there was never interaction. Mai ve'elu basuli biti, why is he talking in this manner? Elu basuli biti, that's referring to some sort of physical phenomena which never happened. Answer is, ve'elu kishrei basuli biti. You had brought Edom who alleged that she was a non-basul here. I have to aid them that are being machshir my daughter and restoring her bisulim. Bishloim Elor Blazer ben Yaakov coined to him. We understand the pasuk hainu dechsev uparsu asimla. So they'll spread out the cloth, the sheet, for all to see. Because there was interaction between the husband and the wife, and everybody will see that there is a dam on the sheet. She indeed was a bisula during that experience. Elul Rabbanon, who hold that there was no interaction at all between this husband and wife, Mayu Parsa Asimla. What does it mean they spread the sheet? What's the purpose of spreading sheets? Amar Vo Pirsu Masha Samla. They're going to verify the allegations that this fellow put forth and challenged her with. Kedesanya Upirsu Asimla. What does it mean? Pirsu Asimla. Malamit Sheboyin Edim Shalze. Ve'edim Shalze. The pair of Edim who allege that she's a non-basula, meaning the husband's Edim. Ve'edim Shalze. And the other pair of Edim brought by the father to support her status. They come to Bezdin, and Bezdin investigates the matter thoroughly. U'boyrin Sadavar, and they investigate, they cross-examine the Edim. Kesimla Chadasha. Like a brand new garment without any creases. They clarify and they conclude the truth. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Devarim Kiksoven. No, he says Parsas Asimla means literally they spread the sheet out and they take a look and see whether there was dam during the interaction between the husband and the wife. Simla Mamish, an actual Simla. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yaakov bar Giyuri. In the name of whom? Mishmed Rabbi Yechanan. She sent the following halach. Av agav shalom etzinu. Bechol ha-Torah kula. If you take a look throughout the entire Torah, we never find any distinction. Shechilik ha-kosov bein biya kedarko lebiya shalai kedarko. We never find that the Torah makes any differentiation between a regular interaction with a woman or a irregular interaction from the back. Lemakas la-inshin pertaining to various punishments. So interaction with an erva, whether this way or that, brings about the same exact results, except for one example. Aval Meitzis Shemra, but in terms of this Meitzis Shemra fellow, Chilek, we do find a difference between this and that. How? Einai Chayiv, the only time we apply these penalties to the troublemaker husband, Ad Sheyivol Shalei Kedarka. It only works if he interacted with her the irregular way, meaning even that way, would be enough. For Yoytu Shem B'Kedark. However, in terms of his allegations, in terms of the story that he's presenting, that she was involved with somebody before me, he must be purporting that she was involved Kedark. The fact is, he's claiming that she's not a Basula, which is only Kedarka. So that's what we need. Asks the Gemara, come on, this statement, this halacha, whose shita are we following? We had Rabbanon, we had Elazar ben Yaakov. Whose shita are we going with? Ikar Rabbanon, is it the Rabbanon? Afakav the Leibal. According to him, you don't need his interaction with her to activate the Meitzis Shemra process. You don't even need that at all. Ikar Elazar ben Yaakov. On the other hand, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would need the work. You see, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he's taking the psukim very literally. This new husband interacted with his wife the regular way, and he claims, look, I discovered no basulim. It must have happened regularly, because otherwise, how could he know? Let's see Rashi on top. Since according to the Shita, the Pesukim and the Torah are taken literally. And if that's the case, how could he claim, I didn't find Basulim? The only way is if he claims, I was involved with her the regular way, and I found her to be an Basula. Says the Gemara Kedarka B'inan. He was involved Kedarka, and he's claiming that the other fellow before him was also Kedarka. That's the only way it works. Ella, rather, we have to revise the halacha Sholach Rav Kahana, Mishre Rav Yechanan, Einei Chayiv. In fact, there's no Chiyiv here, Ach Yivel Kedarka. He interacted with her currently Kedarka, Yoyt Hashem Rabbi Kedarka. And he's claiming that she was involved with another man, Kedarka, as well. And that explains the non-Bisu. So bottom line is, a fellow makes up a story about his wife, as though she had been involved with somebody else beforehand. If it turns out that he is right, she gets skila. Otherwise, he's punished severely, but the Gemara tells us that the Edom that he's bringing to substantiate his story had to have been summoned by him, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, hired by him. We had a couple of shilas how to do that, whether karka works, whether paras shava pruta works, etc. It certainly doesn't work if he's referring to his brother's marriage. Regarding his own first marriage, we're not sure. In which way is he penalized? Malkus and Mea Kesef. Why? Where's the warning? We have an option of two psukim. Yisru ois, leiselech rachel ba'amecha, or v'nishmarta mikol davaro. According to Blazman Yaakov, it only works if he interacted with her as well, and as a result of that interaction, he's claiming her to be non-basul, according to Rabbonim, even without that. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'av, a father of a young girl, a ketana, or even a nara, zakai babite, the Torah, handed him the privileges of partaking in his daughter's monetary income. Ha'av zakai babite, he has a schus to accept the following income due to his daughter. Bikidusha. So he can go ahead and be mekadosher. He can accept the money which a husband will give to be mekadosh to engage his daughter. So bikidusha can work in all different ways. Bikesef, whether it's accepting money on her behalf, and he keeps that money, it's his. Bishtar, whether it's accepting a document in which it says, I am being mekadosh your daughter. Ubaviyah, likewise, he can hand his daughter over to this man to engage her as married, which makes a kiddush. What else does the father get? Zaka b'mitzi asa. Anything she finds goes to him. Umasi yadea, her earnings. Ubafaris nindarea, he can nullify her vows. Umakabla zgita. Likewise, he can choose to have her divorced. Again, we're speaking about a ketana or a nara. So you can go ahead and accept a get on her behalf. But ve'eino ichel peres bechayya. Suppose she inherited a field from her mother's side, so it belongs to her. He cannot consume the produce of that field bechayya during her lifetime. But nisis, once she marries, yaser olav abal, her husband has an advantage over her father. In which way she'ichel peres bechayya, he can partake in the produce coming off her field vechayya v'benos nesel, and likewise he must feed her. Ubeperkaina, he must redeem her. If she is captured, ukvarasa, he must bury her. Rabbi the Eimer, afilu onish b'Yisrael, even the poorest person amongst Klal Yisrael, la yifchais mishnei chalilin umkainenes, comes to his wife's funeral, la'aleinu, he should offer no less than two flute players and at least one woman who chants. So the Mishnah begins with the halacha that a father is entitled to his daughter's a kiddushin money. Because of Manolan, how do we know? Had the money received on behalf of his daughter's kedushin go to him? How do we know that he's the address? Amar Vida Amar Kro, the pasuk says, "V'yatzah chinim en kesef." This is by the girl who was sold as an Amma ha'ivriya, a Jewish maidservant. Come the time of Narush, she becomes an adult. She leaves the master's domain. V'yatzah chinim, she leaves for free, en kesef, no need to pay any money. Once the pasuk says she leaves free of charge, why do you need to add ein kesef? It's redundant. It's a drasha to teach you ein kesef l'adin zeh. There's no money during this transaction. She leaves him without paying. But there is another instance where she is leaving somebody. She's leaving somebody's domain, her father's domain, i.e., getting engaged. In which case, there is money coming to the father. Why? Because the money received for that kiddushin is directed to her father. V'yesh kesef la'odein achar. Another master out there, in a similar circumstance, gets money upon her leaving his jurisdiction. Umana, who is that lucky man? Avia, her father. So we learn that when she leaves her father's domain, i.e., somebody marries her, father gets the mamon kiddushin. V'emel l'dida. How do you know that to be true? Perhaps you're right. There is money involved when she leaves her father's domain. She gets engaged via money. Today we use a ring, but same idea. Money or shave kesef. But who's to say that it goes to the father? There is money involved, but maybe it goes to her. Answers the Gemara. Hashta avia mekabel kedushah. Well, this we know for a fact. That the father is sort of the boss. He accepts the kedushin. He chooses to marry her off. The pasuk says, "As biti nasati lishazeh, I handed my daughter to this man." He's in charge of marrying her off. Right? It's all a matter of his choices. He chooses her husband. Ihi shakal kaspa. Does it make sense that she'll get the money? It's his business. He marries her off. Of course he gets the money. That answers your question. Ve'i mahani miliktana. Oh, perhaps that pasuk speaking about iktana. Below bas mitzvah. The less layad, because she doesn't have the ability to marry herself off. A katan or a iktana cannot really affect transactions, right? So father is in charge, and father gets the payment. Aval nara, this layad. But once she turns a nara, she's already an adult. She can affect legal transactions. E to kadish nafsha, ve tishkol kaspa. Perhaps in that, at that state, she can choose to be mekadish herself and accept the money. Who's to say it goes to the father? Amar krov. We have another pasuk to prove that. Binorea beisavia. During the period of Na'arus, when she's a Na'ara, Beisavia, it's to the father. We learn from here, Kol Shvach Nu'urim Lavia, any financial benefits, any earnings, any income attributed to this Na'ara belongs to the father, including the Kesef Kiddush. Ve'elo, if that's the case, then we have a question. Hoda Maruna Marav, Menayin Shemas Abbas Lavia, how do we know that a daughter's earnings go to her father? He sells his daughter as a maidservant, and we learn the drasha as follows. We compare a daughter to a maidservant. Ma'ama, just as a maidservant, Masya de la Rava, her earnings go to her master. That's pretty straightforward. Af Masya de la Ravia, likewise, a daughter's earnings go to her father. Why do we need a pasuk for that? Lamali. Tepiklei, mi binarea be sevia. Haven't you brought me another pasuk to teach us the same exact concept? Ne'urea beisavia, any shavach ne'urim, any earnings, any potential monetary gains goes to the father. Ela, oh. So the answer must be that you cannot learn financial earnings from that pasuk. Ela hu ba'afaras n'daram u'dechsiv. The pasuk of binurea beisavia is referring to a very specific halacha, that a father has the ability to control his daughter's nether. And it's unrelated to financial matters. And therefore you cannot use that pasuk to teach us that kedushin money goes to the father. Okay, so maybe we can learn from Afaris Nadarim to Kesef Kedushin. You cannot do that. You cannot learn financial matters, such as mom and kedushin, from Afaris Nadarim, which is Isser. Totally different concept. So maybe we can learn from a different source. We've already learned many times throughout this parak, the previous parak, that knas monies goes to the father. He pays a knas to the father. So perhaps just as that money goes to the father, mom and kedushin as well. That's a problem. You cannot derive ordinary payments, money which is due to somebody like Kesef Kedushin. You can't learn that from Knas, which is a penalty, which works according to totally different guidelines. I have another option. By the Oynes and Mafata, we know there are many types of payments involved. There's the Knas, there's Boishas, shame and embarrassment, there's Pagam, damages. Those monies, Boishas and Pagam, which are mamon, money which is due to him. It's not a Knas, it's due. It goes to the father. And perhaps Kesef Kedushin as well. Answers the Gemara, no. Shani Boishas Upagam Da'avio Nami Shayachbe. You know why a father is deserving of the Boishas Upagam payments? Because he's an involved party. The Gemara explained this a couple of days ago, right? Because if he wishes, he can hand his daughter over to a Menuvel Amukashchin, a lowly fellow, and earn a lot of money upon marrying her off to this fellow. So in a way, he has a financial interest. He's losing that potential income when this fellow gets involved with her forcefully or coerced. He's losing that money because she's now downgraded and unsuitable for other people. So bottom line is, he's a party. He's an interested party. So it makes sense that he should get the Boishas of Pagam, which he loses because of this fellow's interaction with his daughter. Because he's also an involved party. That explains that halacha. But Kesef Kedushin is to say that he has a right to collect that money. Elo says the Gemara. Let's go back to the earlier suggestion. Pasuk said, V'yotza chinim ein kasef. She leaves the master as soon as she reaches adulthood. She leaves chinam, free of charge, ein kasef, without payment. Why the redundancy? She leaves him without payment. But elsewhere, you leave somebody with payment, i.e., leaving your father's domain through engagement affects payment to the father. The question was, maybe it affects payment. It was to say to the father, Elo mistavro dechi memayit rachmona. It's logical that when the Torah is memayit, when the Torah is alluding to a different type of leaving, right, which has money, dechi memayit rachmona, when the pasuk is memayit, alluding to a different case. Yitzia dekavosah kamemayit. The other case is apparently similar, very similar in nature. It almost mirrors and replicates the yitziyah of the Amma HaEvriya from her master. And Rashi explains like this. She leaves the master without payment. V'yotza chinam. Payment to whom? Who would she have to pay, theoretically? The master. Perhaps she has to, you know, give him some sort of payment to allow her to leave, right? No, yatza chinam, free of charge. Because she's an adult, she's shown the door, right? Then the pasuk says, ain't kasef, without payment. Why the redundancy? Over here there's no payment to the master. But elsewhere, when you leave somebody else, i.e. a father, through engagement, there is payment to him. The cases have to correspond. The details have to jive, have to match. Over here, there's no payment to master. By a different type of master, leaving a father's jurisdiction through getting engaged, there is money to master. There you go. So you go there. You know the father gets the Mamet Kedush? Asks the Gemara, but in any case, the two cases aren't really 100% similar. V'olei damya. Ha-yitziya la-ha-yitziya. You can't compare leaving over here, leaving her master, to leaving her father. Why? Hasam gabi adin, by the master, her leaving is absolute. She's totally disengaged from him. Nafkalei mershusei legamri, she's totally leaving his domain. As opposed to yitziya de'ab, when she leaves her father's domain by way of getting engaged to a fellow, it's not a complete disengagement. Akati, it's still mechastra, missing. Mesir l'chupa. She hasn't been given over l'chupa. She's still somewhat in his rishus. Rashi says a father still yerush his daughter in that state. He still gets her earnings. So in any case, the cases aren't really comparable. Yes, they are. Why? Because to a certain extent, she is leaving her father's rishus completely. Mefaris nedarim miha, when it comes to nullifying her nedarim, nafkula mershusei, at least in that, for that aspect, she leaves his rishus completely. Why? Because up until now, father exercised complete and comprehensive control over his daughter's nedarim. Once she gets engaged, that is no longer. He has to share that right, that power with the husband, the snan, nara murasa, nara who's engaged, avia ubala. It's not no longer her father alone. It's her father and her husband, who are mefir and lo nedareo, who tend to her nedarim. So you see, it has father, her father lost that total control. So in that sense, she left completely. He was totally in control and is no longer in control. Totally. So it is a yitzia, which is similar to the yitzia of the Amha Ivriya from the master. And therefore, the two cases are comparable. So bottom line is, this is going to be the source. How do we know that a father will accept the Kesef Kedushin when he has his daughter engaged? How do we know he's deserving of that money? From this pasuk. You leave your master for free, but not your father. So a father can accept the kedushin on behalf of his daughter, and the shtar, and orchestrate the bia as well. Shtar or bia. Menolan, how do we know those two things? Kesef, we know. What about shtar or bia? Amakrov, v'hoysel ish acher. See, the pasuk speaks about her marrying somebody, right? Vayisa l'isha achar. Vayisa is lashon of marriage. And we know that, you know, the Gemara Kedushin already teaches us that there are three different ways of engaging and marrying. Kesef, shtar, and bia. Right, that's a known fact. So now the pasuk refers to getting married by using the word vahisa. So it's one word referring to three different possible ways of getting married. Iskush havais ladadi. That in effect is sort of bundling together all different forms of marriage. Kesef with shtar and bia. And once we know a father is entitled to his daughter's money, the kesef kedushin is his. Likewise, when it comes to other methods of marrying off shtar and bia, he's also the orchestrator as well. What else does a father get? Zakai b'mitziyasa. He's entitled to his daughter's findings. Why? Mishum eva. To avoid any animosity. Says Rashi on top. Mishum eva. Since technically a father does not have to feed his daughter, it's very nice and generous, but he doesn't have to do it. And therefore the Chachamim looked out, you know, for her benefit. They required her to hand over any findings to the father to keep the peace and harmony in their home. She'll walk away with her mitzia and ignore her father. What do you mean? I'm feeding you, providing for you. You can't just give me what you found. He's not going to want to feed her anymore. Therefore, the Chachamim gave him that privilege as well. Okay, so what did we learn today? We spoke about a mitzvah shemra, there's an azhara, v'nishmartem kol davara, or le'selach rachel ba'amecha. He asked Aiden to come help him out, or he hired them, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Turns out the whole thing was made up. He gets malchus, Meo Kesef, according to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, provided that he was Baal the Isha. We learned that a father can orchestrate his daughter, a daughter, a Nara or a Ketana, her Kedushin, Kesef, the Shtar, and the Bia. And we learned from a Pasuk that he's actually entitled to receive the Kesef Kedushin. All the best and Hatzlacha Rabbah.